hello, gang. Show's called Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. I'm the guy who brings it all to you. I put it all together. I listen to all the recordings first to make sure that they're suitable, appropriate for the program. That takes a lot of time. And, of course, I write all the comedy routines. Sometimes I get a little help from people today. I'm getting some help from Kelly Kenyon, which is nice. Or maybe I'm helping her. I don't know. We're helping each other. And then, let's see, I get the guests together when we have guests. And I find the books. And that's how you put a show together. Yeah. Let's have a show. Okay. Let's see. Phyllis Diller is in the show today. Play something from Jay Mankita's cassette. A old comedy record, Conception Land, from the Conception Corporation, and maybe read a book by Richard Wilbur called Opposites. I don't know if we'll have time for that, but we're going to try. We're going to start off with Bunky and Jake. Who remembers Bunky and Jake out there? You'd have to be a baby boomer, I think, to remember them. They were in the late 60s, a moderately successful duo. I remember, I think I had their album in high school. I certainly listened to it. This one is a cute song. It's called Bing Bong, the Subway Song. Catchy tune, isn't it? Bunky and Jake. Guess it helps if you live in New York City. Okay, well, this is Knock on Wood, and I'm... What do they call me? Oh, yeah, they call me Steve Charney. And oh, here's Hi.
Hi, Steve!
Do you mind if I say something?
Well, what?
You don't have any clothes on.
Really? How kind of you to notice.
Well, are you gonna dress?
No.
How are you subverting societal order here? We have rules, and these rules are commonly accepted in our culture for perfectly good and logical reasons. You, sir, are indecently exposed.
Hey! You check the books, there's no law about dummies going around naked. I'm just a wooden puppet, for Pete's sake. Who really cares if they can see my tush? It's made of wood, anyway.
So what's the deal? Why are you nude?
I don't have any clothes to wear.
What do you mean? I just bought you new clothes to wear. Where are they?
I did the laundry, Steve. They shrunk.
How much?
Well, here's my wardrobe, Steve, in my trunk here.
Where?
Right here, inside this matchbox. See, there are all my pants, the shirt, and 5 pairs of underwear.
Wow, I've never seen clothes shrink that much. How did it happen?
I'm not sure, Steve, but it might have been my drying method. I put them in the microwave after laundering them.
Why? Why? Why?
It was an experiment. I read that microwave ovens oscillate the molecules of food, thereby heating them up. So I figured, what if I could vibrate the molecules of clothing? Maybe I could change the entire structure of the fabric, Steve. My striped shirts could become polka dot shirts. My jeans could become Bermuda shorts. My shorts could become Bermuda jeans.
I never saw Bermuda jeans.
Oh, wait a second. If they got Bermuda shorts, they must have the other things, too. Bermuda socks, Bermuda underwear. I mean, what, do they only wear shorts in Bermuda? They have to have undershirts there also, right? Bermuda undershirts. So anyway, I thought this microwave might help me out. But alas.
Yes?
I now have clothing that could fit mice.
By the way, this might be a good time to warn the kids at home not to put anything into the microwave.
Why? Oh, yeah, I get it. We don't want everyone shrinking their clothes and running around naked, do we? That would flout the rules about loving, decent, modest, non-licentious society, eh? That would flout the laws about populace. Is that it, Johnny? You've gotten so staid, so conservative in your old age. I remember a time when you would have whipped off your clothes and joined me in a dance beneath the full moon, howling at a primitive expression of life and joy.
I just don't want people messing around with microwaves, that's all. I have nothing against ripping off one's clothes and dancing beneath the full moon.
Even with all the bugs and everything?
Look, microwaves could be dangerous. This is radio fantasy we're doing here.
What do you mean, radio fantasy?
Nothing we're talking about is really happening.
What are you trying to say, that I'm not really naked?
No, you're not. In fact, you have a mink coat on with a snowsuit underneath.
Yeah, but it's a shrunken snowsuit, because I put it in the microwave to dry. It only fits over my thumb, see?
Look, we're going to have to get you some clothes.
Ah, back to the script. Okay, there we go. But first I need to make some notations on it.
On the script?
Yeah. Fortunately, I brought along my pencil here.
Where?
This here.
That looks like a toothpick.
I know. It was in the pocket of one of the pants that went into the laundry.
The pencil shrunk too?
That's right. Lots of things shrunk.
What are you going to do with all these items?
Well, I'm thinking of starting a yard sale, Steve. A yard sale for mice, hamsters, and chipmunks. It'll include all of my shrunken objects.
How many do you have?
Lots. Why don't you put out a recording? I'll get it all together, Steve. I'll show it to you when we come back.
Okay, let's listen to Phyllis Diller now.
Do you realize that you are looking at a Slenderella reject? Well, oh boy, have I compensated. Every day I go to an indoor pool and I wear a bikini over an old raincoat. And I was at the pool today, as usual, and I was doing the Australian crawl for quite a while. And my husband comes over and says, "You idiot. Get in the pool." "I can't do it in the pool." And he knows it. You know, he's still coming on, like James Cagney. It's been years now. I've been analyzing it. Why? I think I got it figured. Men try forever to preserve the old football image. You know, it's so ridiculous with him. He's shaped like one. I lace him up every morning. Oh, and he's still talking about his injuries. He was hurt once in a huddle. And another time when the bench fell over backwards. But I have definitely beat the rap. I don't have to cook anymore. And tonight was the last, believe me. And I enjoy eating out. You can get stung now, don't get me wrong. I ordered a steak a couple of nights ago, rare. With a little care, this thing could have recovered. But I drank it.
She drank it. What a card. That Phyllis Diller, one of the old-time stand-up comics, you know. Used to be on the Ed Sullivan Show. Where do we stand?
We stand on our feet, Steve.
Yeah, well, most of us do. Harry dried his clothes in the microwave after putting them in the washing machine. You know, because of the oscillating molecules, the fabric shrunk to, well, matchbook size. And now he wants to have a yard sale and invite mice and chipmunks since, well, they're the only ones who could fit into any of the clothes now.
Well, not the only ones, Steve. A hamster might fit into this T-shirt here. Look at this.
I don't think you can have a yard sale with so few items.
Well, I have other things. There's the pencil that's the size of a toothpick. It was in my pocket when I did the laundry.
What else in your pockets that shrunk?
Well, let's see. Oh, this book here, Steve. Hey, look at this.
Looks like an ordinary address book. I don't see that it shrunk.
Well, it used to be the Manhattan Yellow Pages.
Oh. Wait a second. How did you get the Manhattan phone book into your pocket?
The same way I got this in!
A ukulele?
No. Your guitar.
Not my guitar.
Yep. That's your guitar, all right.
How did you get it into a microwave?
Oh, it was hard, Steve. But with a little perseverance and threats, I managed to squeeze it in. Of course, getting it out was a lot easier. It was smaller then.
Well, you might as well sell it now. It's useless to me as a musical instrument. But as a ukulele, it's still too big for a mouse.
Well, we could use it as a stand-up bass.
But look, put these clothes back into the matchbox that you were keeping them in. Wait a second. That's a funny-looking matchbox.
Actually, it's not a matchbox, Steve. It's a microwave oven.
The microwave shrunk, too?
Yeah.
Well, maybe the mice could use a microwave. And anyway, where are you going to find these mice to come to your yard sale?
Oh, well, I have one right here, Steve. Take a look. I'm keeping them in this cardboard box.
Wow. What kind of mouse is that?
Oh, well, until I tried to dry him in the microwave, he was an elephant.
I was king of the woods, I was doing fine. I was scarier than Frankenstein. I was 4 feet wide and 8 feet tall, playing in the snow and having a ball. I was looking for food and eating it all, when suddenly I heard this call. Hi, 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 hibernating. I'll be waiting. Finding my way by echoing sound, I was eating bugs and moths and things. I was proud to be a mammal with wings. The air was chilly, there were less bugs to eat, feeling the cold and missing the heat. One night flapping around a snow-covered grave, and next night sleeping in a nice warm cave. Hi, hi, hi. Dig a hole in the snow when the temperature's low. It's a thing to do if you want to sleep late. Yeah, hibernating is really great. Then I dreamed I was in a squirrel den. I must have been a squirrel then. I was gathering nuts, stuffing them in my cheeks. This went on for 7 weeks. I was taking in the smells, the sounds, and the sights, chittering and chattering and feeling right. I was climbing trees at the speed of light. Then suddenly, on a cold, cold night, hi, 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 hibernating. I'll be waiting till the spring. Everybody gotta slow down sometime. Feels like a long, long time to me. I wish I could hibernate. Then I remembered my homework wasn't done. There was nowhere to hide, nowhere to run. I got to school, my teacher stood there waiting. I said, Mr. Parker, I was hibernating. About that homework, I forgot. But I dreamed about hibernating, I learned a lot. I got an A in the class for singing this song, and the kids and the teachers were singing along. Hi, 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 hibernate. Like a long, long time.
Jay Mankita, nice job on that. I'm your pal here on Knock on Wood. If you tuned in late, I'll run down for you what's been happening with Harry. Harry's been shrinking things in the microwave. Now he's planning to have a yard sale and invite mice to it.
Well, actually, it's not a yard sale, Steve. It's an inch sale. A yard is 3 feet long, and that's much too big for a creature as tiny as a mouse. So my inch sale will include pencils the size of toothpicks, a guitar the size of a ukulele,
which you'll be selling as a stand-up bass for a gerbil,
or whatever little creature wants to get into jazz. And, let's see, I got this penny here.
It's an ordinary-sized penny. I thought you were shrinking things down.
Well, used to be a drum cymbal.
A drum thimble?
No, the thimble is here, Steve. That used to be an oil drum.
Wait a second. I've lost track of this routine. Can we just go over it quickly?
Sure.
You came in here naked.
Which I still am.
Right. I wish you wouldn't bring that up. It's not proper to be performing a radio program in the nude, especially a children's show.
But I'm a children.
That's debatable. Anyway, the reason for your nudity is because you washed your clothes and tried to dry them in the microwave. Only it got out of hand and they shrunk drastically, right?
Yeah.
Which made you decide to have a yard sale for mice, right?
Yeah.
Only there were other items that also were shrunk. Items in your pockets, like a pencil and a phone book. Am I right so far?
So far, so good.
Only you seem to have the oddest things in your pockets as well. My guitar, a trunk, an elephant? How you got them into your pocket in the beginning and then into the microwave, I still don't know.
Well, you never will, Steve. These are the tricks of the trade. But I'll give you a hint. It works on the same principle as how a wooden doll could be doing laundry at all.
Aha. Okay, so now we're up to date. All right, what else is going to be at this inch sale?
This right here.
A tongue depressor?
No, a yardstick. And this right here.
A business card?
No, a map of the U.S. And this.
A grape?
No, a watermelon. And this.
A piece of thread?
No, rope. And this.
An orange?
No, a basketball. And this.
A handkerchief?
No, a Persian rug. And this.
A 1 foot pole?
No, a 10 foot pole. And this.
A nail file?
No, a chainsaw. And this.
A ring?
No, a necklace. And this.
A chocolate M&M?
No, a football. And this.
A telephone?
Yeah, that is a telephone.
Well, I'll be. I got one right.
So all I have to do is put an ad in the paper, tell it when the yard sale will occur, or the inch sale, and I'll make a little money this weekend.
What newspaper are you going to use?
This one, Steve.
That's not a newspaper. That's a handy wipe.
Look again, Steve.
Oh, I see.
This is it, guys and gals. The new thing, the moving, grooving thing. You said school was a bummer? Well, baby, it ain't no more. This is... Top 40 Education with the one and only Doc Rock. Now keep your ear pressed to that blackboard, because we're switching to English Central and Super Prof.
Gotta learn to dance before we learn to walk. Gotta learn to spell before we learn to talk. And Super Prof's here to please with the ABCs.
Super Prof, Super English Time. Correct this sentence. I want my pibble should clear up.
Tired of classes that keep throwing the book at you? Well, now you can sign up for one that'll let you use your own hands to make valuable objects.
By the time we got to woodshop, we were half a million strong.
Everybody's heading for woodshop. Stop by and talk to the carpenters. Before you know it, you'll be making your own hat racks, birdhouses, wooden legs. Check it out today.
You can study the moon or inflate a balloon. You can analyze the tune on a cigarette phone.
Science Man with a big B, biology. Today we're going to study bacteria. How we're going to infect ourselves with botulism right after this message.
And now a statement of editorial opinion from Mr. Harry W. Keister, general manager and principal.
It has come to our attention that large numbers of pupils have been walking in the halls without a pass. From now on, if you are caught in the halls without a pass, you will be shot. Thank you.
And now, the news.
Professor Scoop with the latest poop. A big fight in the second floor boys' washroom puts washroom monitor Bruce Purvis in the infirmary again. Sophomore chemistry lab is raided by the narc squad. The principal reports that someone has stolen his desk. And in the lunchroom, milk goes up a penny today after the threat of a strike by Bessie and Viola. Now, down to our between periods traffic spotter.
This is flying patrol boy Billy Bumpo cruising on the first floor just north of the tardy office. Traffic is moving very... Oh, a locker is open and a bunch of books have fallen on the floor. traffic is really backing up. It's a bad one. If you have a class at this end of the first floor, I suggest you attend an alternate class on the second or the third floor. Well, that's the bell. We'll be back with another flying traffic report between fourth and fifth periods. Now we switch you down to Phys Ed.
Hi! This is Phys Ed here with the gym class. Today we're going to meditate. Ready now! Meditate! One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. Come on, everybody, meditate here. One, two, you there. You're not meditating. One, two, three, four. Okay, now we're going to do some inhaling exercises. But first, this message.
Where can you go between 12 and 1? Where can you go for a fight or fun? Where can you get sick each day at noon?
Right, gang, the lunchroom. No far-out organic foods, just good old American oatmeal burgers. Stupendous grease-flavored french fries. Delicious chocolate milk chock full of nourishing wax. It's all in the lunchroom where you get yesterday's food today.
This is Nancy Fancy with Home Economics. Today we're going to learn about our clothing. And the way we're going to learn is by making an actual piece of clothing we can wear ourselves or give to a friend. We are going to tie-dye a tie! Now watch carefully. First, we take the tie we're going to dye and tie it. When the tie is tightly tied, we dip the tie in the tie-dye dye. When the tie-dye tie is dry, we untie the tie and take the dye we've just applied and set it aside. Retie the tie-dye tie, take another dye, dip the retied tie in this dye too. Take it out, let it dry, untie the tie, and you've got a tie-dye tie. And that tie's not all you can tie-dye. You can tie-dye a tutu too. Take the tutu, tie the tutu, dip it in the dye, let it dry like the tie we dyed. Now tear the tutu in two. Now you've got two tutus to tie-dye. Take the two ties you tie-dyed and the two tutus you've torn in two and tied and dip them in the dye.
Wonderful. Conception Corporation presents Conception Land, an old record. But a funny one. I liked it. That's why I played it for you. Okay, let's see. We're done with the small things, right?
Yeah, Steve.
Okay, but we do have a little time to read the book Opposites. These are poems by Richard Wilbur. These are opposites, and he has very interesting ways of finding opposites. In fact, I have a record from Cricket Magazine. They put out a record, and he's explaining that he used to play this game with his family when he was a kid. The opposite of making faces is not indulging in grimaces, wrinkling your nose with tongue stuck out and rolling both your eyes about, but letting eyes and mouth and nose remain entirely in repose. It's true, however, that a very fixed expression can be scary.
What is the opposite of two? A lonely me, a lonely you.
What is the opposite of doe? Well, the answer is buck, as you should know. A buck is doe, you say? Well, well, clearly you don't know how to spell. Moreover, get this through your head. The current slang for doe is bread. Interesting. Of course, he meant the opposite of doe. He spelled it D-O-E. And we were thinking D-O-U-G-H. But it's also doe. The opposite of a doe is a buck. Okay, yes, very confusing.
What is the opposite of petty? Well, I'm sorry, but there isn't any. Unless you count the change, I guess, of someone who is penniless. When people flip a petty, it's two sides, of course, are opposites. I'll flip one now. Go on to choose. Which is it, heads or tails? You lose.
The opposite of squash. Offhand, I'd say that it might be expand, enlarge, uncrumple, or inflate. However, on a dinner plate with yellow vegetables and green, the opposite of squash is bean.
What is the opposite of actor? Well, the answer is very simple. Tractor. I said that just because it rhymes, as lazy poets do at times. However, to be more exact, an actor is one that likes to act. King Lear is some unlikely plot pretending to be what he's not. Opposite of actor, friend, is someone who does not pretend, but is himself like you and me. I'm Romeo. Who might you be?
There's more than one way to be right about the opposite of white. And those who merely answer black are very, very single track. They make one want to scream, I beg your pardon, but within an egg, a fact known to the simplest folk, the opposite of white is yolk. One more?
Yeah. The opposite of donut? Wait a minute while I meditate. This isn't easy. Ah, I found it. A cookie with a hole around it.
Okay, We'll stop there. Richard Wilbur wrote it, and Steve and Harry read it.
Right.
Okay, I think we're done.
We're done, Steve. I gotta set up my little inch sale for the mice and the hamsters and the gerbils and the groundhogs and the moles and, you know.
Yeah, I know. Should even shrink them up. Put them in the microwave again. Shrink them even smaller.
What do you mean?
Then you can have a little bacteria sale, you know, for the bacteria.
Right. Shrink it even more. You can have atom sale for the atoms and the electrons.
Shrink them even more. You can have a quark sale for the quarks.
All right. Enough.
Is it enough?
It's enough.
Okay.
Knock on Wood is produced at the Knock on Wood Studios in Woodstock, New York. The show is written and produced by me, Steve Charney. Today's episode was also written with Kelly Kenyon. SteveCharney.com has lots of videos of Harry and myself, as well as jokes, an email address, a sales page with CDs, DVDs, and books, info about our live stage shows, and lots more. And there are two ways that you can listen to previous Knock on Wood programs. If you visit WGXC.org, click on Archives, and type in Knock on Wood, you can listen to previous programs. Or you can go to iTunes, type in my name, and download the podcasts. Okay, bye-bye, everyone.
That you can never quite recall.
Yeah, now let me see.
And you see Laura on the train that is passing through.
Roma Seltzer.
Those eyes, how familiar they seem. She gave your very first kiss to you. That was Laura, but she's only a dream.